Please be seated. So there is a church in the town of Nazareth, you know, the town that Jesus grew up in. It's called the Church of the Annunciation. There is something I want to share that I think is kind of cool about this church. But first we want to look at, let's look at this familiar painting. Let's look at this, the next slide. This familiar painting, maybe to many, is at least this idea, this image in the Western cultural imagination. It's the Madonna and Child. It's painted by the artist Raphael in like the early 1500s or so. And now maybe just kind of, what do you notice just on the surface about this? Is that Mary and Joseph, they are like Northern European, okay, right? And last I checked, is Jesus is Middle Eastern, right? He was Jewish. And it's not that Raphael was, you know, ignorant, or that he was blind to this, or that he was stupid, right? That's not what it is. It's that that the gospel speaks at such a deep and personal way to this universal human experience, and to our lostness and our lost sense of identity and our own longing for hope and for purpose, that whenever the gospel goes, wherever it goes, that we can't help but talk about it, right? You just can't help it, right? That says kind of what Mark was helping us think today. You can't help but talk about it. And that we will also then want to depict Jesus in our own story and to put ourselves into his story in light of our own kind of self of this idea of who we are and our own cultural backgrounds. And so now we want to look at a few other just kind of paintings. So at the Church of the Annunciation, what they did is they commissioned artists from around the world to do that same painting, but in their own kind of cultural imagination with their own cultural symbols and clothing and all of those things. And so here, let's say on the left. Sorry, on the left you get from Chile, right? The one in the middle is from Ethiopia, right? They're bringing bowls, right, to Mary and to Jesus. Right, then the next one over here on the right, it's from Vietnam. Let's go to the next picture. Now here, you know, Thailand, right? I mean, that's kind of, I think that's one of the coolest ones. Then you have from Egypt and from China, right, dressed in, you know, the traditional Chinese clothing. Let's go to the next slide. Right, here's one from Korea. Let's look at the next one. Here's from the Ukraine. Right? And let's look at the next one. Yeah, you have Indonesia, right? This is from Japan. Let's look at the next one. Right here, this one, oh, I can't remember the, what's the one on the left? The Liechtenstein, oh, there we go. See, look, that's kind of cool. Right, you get one from Ethiopia here, and from France, I think there's one more. Nope, that's it. Right, just an idea, all right, is that you see that there's just such a variety, right? Such variety. That they can, as you walk into this cathedral, those that's just a handful. I mean, it's just, this is like, it's surround. I've never been there. I'm just seeing now. I watched video of it, right? It's all around. They have this also this extra courtyard that's got even more of them. That as you go in, you can't help but be kind of see all of these images from all over the world, and that you will see that your own kind of your own experience of Christianity, you'll see that it is a very small sliver, right? Whatever it is, whatever your experience of Christianity, whether it has been positive or negative, is just one expression, right? It's just one expression of this movement of people who follow Jesus, okay? In whatever time and whatever place that you are. And you can't help but see that there is a diversity and a difference of expressions of people, of what it means to follow Jesus. And that's one of the things that Paul wants to help us get in touch with today from Ephesians 2 and 3. He talks about, he says, there's this mystery that's been made known to me by revelation. He wants us to understand his insight into this mystery about this Messiah, this King, that was not made known to the other generations, but now has been revealed by the Spirit. He says, here's the mystery. The mystery is that the non-Jewish people, right, Gentiles, they are heirs together with Israel, right, with the Jewish people. And they are members of one body, and they share in the same promise with King Jesus. You know, mystery, that word, when I hear mystery, I often think about like Agatha Christie, right? It's like, if you're smart enough and you pay attention, you could figure it out, okay? Or like, here's some puzzle, and you just gotta kind of figure it out, right? Or what's those like, I've never done, but like escape rooms, maybe people do that, right? If you can figure out the little clues, you can get out, okay? That's not what Paul means, right, about mystery. Mystery in the Bible, it means something that was never known, and it was impossible for you to know it, but now you know it, okay? It's just, it was something that was covered, and now it's revealed. He says it's like maybe an open secret, maybe is a way to say it today, right? This open secret. It's not something that you could ever figure out. And this open public secret now is that God is including all people, all nations, into the Messiah's family, creating a new family, a new people that are not captive to those things that seek to divide us into competing groups. And that it is God's wisdom to use a crucified Messiah to overturn the powers that be. That's it, right? That's the mystery. See, the story that Paul has in mind is that God created this world and it was good and people were relating to God in the perfect way. Everything is great, and reflecting his goodness and his love and justice back out into the world. And that lasts for like, you know, two pages, okay? And then it just goes downhill, right? It goes downhill. There's this failure and where people try to take power and to define what is good on their own terms and take their own identity, do that independent from God, from his own love and wisdom for them. And that just kind of divides everything. Everything gets split and it's frayed. But then God, in his wisdom, he takes one, right? One little family out of all of these frayed and diverse groups that have all spread out. And he says, I'm going to bring out of this one family, I will bring redemption and salvation to the world. And so he rescues this one family out of slavery in Egypt. And he makes them say, I want you now to be a witness to my love and my justice and the way in which you care for your neighbor and the way of you are generous and good to those. And I will give you certain markers, certain things about your culture that will set you apart, that will let people know that you are different. And so he gives them circumcision, right? And dietary laws and all these other things. And how do they do with this one family? They also do really, really bad, okay? They also are really bad at it, and they fail, and they're just as screwed up as all of us, right? Just like all of us. They do not fulfill that call to be just and generous, and they fall under the powers, right? Just as much. That order this present age in ways that exacerbate the divisions. And so Paul tells us that now Jesus has come to unite all things back down, all things into him, all things, reunite all of this fragmented and divided world from a million different self-centered directions. He came to be what Israel was supposed to be, right, but never could do. In his life and his complete obedience to God and his utter self-giving love to every other person. He was not just the ultimate Israelite, he was the ultimate person. Being the way that God designed us to be, but because of our own selfishness that goes on inside of us, we fail to be. Jesus lives for us. He dies for us. He rises for us. And this is where Paul sees it all coming back together. He says, this is the mystery. This mystery that God's purpose was always to have the one family. That was his purpose, was always for one family. A one family that from whom every people come and whom everyone on earth is welcomed on this one term. This is the one thing that gets you into the family, is to say, I'm a selfish jerk. Just confess that. All right, that's what I am. And the entry card is just to humble myself before Jesus. And just to humble myself before him and recognize that I am a screwed up person. And that I am so prideful. Right? And I belong to a people that think that we're better than everyone else. And I think that too. I'm better than others. And I have released havoc into this world. And the only way into the family of God is just to say, the Son of God loves me. That's it. He has loved me, and he has given his life for me, and he has been raised from the dead for me, and he invites me into this family, a family of grace, a family of every tribe and of every language and of every culture that is welcomed just on this one thing, is simply faith in Jesus. And that's the mystery. That's the mystery. Because in this new family, what is God's purpose? Why is he doing it? Paul says, why does he do it? Is it, who's he announcing this to? Who's letting people know about the mystery? Is it to you and to me? He says, no, it's to announce this to, he says, to the powers of heavens, right? We've talked about this, you know, this is a big theme, right, in Ephesians, these powers of heaven, those rulers, authorities, Paul has in his mind this, there is this a deep conviction that the evil in our world cannot be explained by just the decisions that you and I make. That's not, you just can't explain it that way. There are other things. There's these spiritual forces at work that lie to us and deceive us and that seek to destroy us. These dark powers are the ways that Paul talks about how a whole people, right, a whole society could get distorted and turned into evil. The powers that distort us and lead us into evil, that lead us into this idea of promoting our own people, our own culture, our own way of doing things above others. And for some, that could be elevating my music, right? This is my music. It's better than yours, and yours is garbage, right? And how could you be so stupid and horrible for liking that, right? Or my own history. This history is the best history, and every other people is just kind of less than, right? This is the best. As we saw art, maybe this is the best art. Every other art is just bad, right? How could you like that, right? It's elevating maybe, you know, our allegiance to some politician, or to maybe even something silly like, this is my little niche thing that I like and I follow, and it's the best thing. And how could you like something that's not like this, right? We do this. I mean, we really do it. And it's amazing how even the silliest things we raise up to be such important things. These are the ways that we think about how I know who I am in this world, how I can separate myself from other people, and how I can know who my enemy is, right? Because if you are that, you must be my enemy, right? And I can scapegoat you now, and I can say all of the problems are because of you and your kind. And you're whatever, right? I can direct all of my fear and all of my hatred that way. And so they can be big, grand things like genocide, right? But it also can be really, really silly things, right? Really silly things, little subtle things like, who do I follow on Instagram, right? What kind of, you know, cool meme can I post that really is a sick burn on somebody, right? We do this. This is what we do. Where I ground my identity and my value and I assert that over someone else. Where are those things? And those things, wherever those opportunities are, Paul is saying the powers are going to be right there. They're going to be all over it to exploit that thing, to divide us through pride or through arrogance. And they can be really big and serious things, but they also can be really, really silly things. Wherever they are, the powers can be there. But God has created then this family, and the existence of this family that we have as his church does not erase all of our differences, does it? They don't go away. The Church of the Annunciation, right, as you go through there and see, you know, it's maybe about 100 different pictures, paintings, right, from different countries around the world. What you see is that there is a new humanity that is made up of people of all kinds, very, very different cultures. All broken, all sinful, and all prideful. But when we go in there, right, what we will see is that all of those things die at the cross. What happens then is that there's just then a beautiful expression then of all that is good and is beautiful in the diversity of humanity. And that's what comes out. The existence of this new humanity is where all of our our cultural differences, they are good, right? They're good then. And they make us different, and that is good. But the most common, important thing is our common denominator is that not of our cultural expressions. It's not what kind of food you like to eat. It's not what kind of music you listen to, right? It's not the kind of art that you like. It is purely our faith, our trust in Jesus, who has loved me, has given himself for me. And so the existence of this family, it announces to the powers, right? God's wisdom, and it challenges them. The existence of this family, who no longer lets our distorted prejudices and prides work within us, that have destroyed and have wreaked so much havoc in humanity. The existence of this family, of these people who humble themselves before the cross and simply say, you know, I am a sinner. I am a sinner who has been saved by God's grace. And I belong to a people who are sinners, right, who have been saved by God's grace. And so, sure, I don't like your music. Fine, I don't like it. Yeah. And sure, I don't like the things you eat. Fine. And I don't like the way you talk, and it really annoys me. Fine. Okay, great. Big deal. But, you know, that's how I come off to you. Don't like the things I like. And that's okay. That's all okay. But I am really glad that Jesus has saved us. That's what I'm glad for. The existence of this family is, as Paul says, it's a direct challenge to the powers. It is God's way of canceling out their influences, that they don't get to define what happens here. And so it's here, it's no Jew or Gentile, right? That is, all of the boundaries that the world sets up, those things are gone. They don't get to define what happens here in this family. Slave or free, right? Those socioeconomic boundaries that kind of keep us separated in our own little enclaves, in our own little interacting circles, those things are gone, right? And male and female, right? The way that gender is turned into this thing of power and abuse, that's gone in this family. All the things that divide us and all the things that break us down and fragment us, they don't get a say here. All they get to say here is God's love, it is God's grace who saves us and renews us. So when we walk into the Church of the Annunciation, it can be a very humbling, it should be humbling to us of who we are and our own identity. Just humbles us all from thinking that, oh, I'm better. Mine are better than yours. It humbles us. It challenges us in every way that we think that we might be ever better than someone else. And of course, we're going to have different views of the world. Of course. And we're going to have different ways of being in this world, different ways of talking, different ways of living, different ways of behaving, all different kind of different ways. But we come on common ground before the cross. And that announces to the powers that they are defeated. They are done. And so today we do that again. We do that when we come to the Lord's table. We'll come and we'll eat of the body and blood of our Lord as one family, right? And this announces to those powers whose rule over this very present evil age is only by destruction and only by division. But today we will put on display God's manifold wisdom as he has created a new humanity set in the midst of an enemy territory. And that confounds the powers and proclaims the very wisdom of God. In his name, amen. And that may a peace of God, which passes all understanding, may guard your hearts and minds in true faith to life everlasting. Amen.